Well, good morning.
We're going to have a moment where we pray corporately. We try to do this from time to time where we pray for whatever's happened in the world. And many of you know about Hurricane Helene that happened at the end of last week. And what we want to do is just take a time to pray. One of the wild things, that happens sometimes in our sermon calendar that we don't even know when we prayerfully going through this. So we plan just to kind of give you behind the veil a little bit. The preaching team at Grace from all the campuses get together and we walk through what we feel like God's leading to serve and encourage you with knowing about his word. So we do this together, kind of a powerful thing. And today we're going to be talking about Noah's Ark and the flood. And with that, we get to pray for brothers and sisters and those who have tragically lost a lot. Some even their family members. And so what we want to do is pray. I think it's important that we have this sense of those of us who are in Christ that understand the value and the sanctity of life, that we pray for and seek God's face on behalf of all humans. And so what we want to do is pray for those that lost loved ones and pray for those that have lost homes and a variety of other things. And so let's just do this together. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you that we can approach you because of the mercy and grace you provide for us in Christ, that you hear us, we can do it confidently, we can do it boldly because of Christ. And Lord, we want to just pray for you, just pray that you would help brothers and sisters and those in the world who have lost loved ones over the past week as a result of this hurricane. Lord, with the flooding, the damage, all those that lost so many things, we pray that you would provide those that know you to come alongside and bring comfort and peace to these families, that they would see an extension of your grace and mercy through those you've redeemed. Father, that you would just provide what they need. Lord, we thank you for this. We trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So church family, too, one of the neat things that we have started since our room's a little bit bigger, we started back in the summer on our months that have a five Sundays, and this being one of them, we have family day of worship. So if those of you who are normally going to Grace Kids Kindergarten and Up, or those of you going G56 or GSM, you're going to be in here with us, and so we do this together. And so one of the neat things that we want to do is to kind of find things that are bridges for these young people of songs they already know, stories they've already heard. And so what's neat today is this particular text really helps us a lot. And so that's why we did the songs we did, because these are the ones they're using in the back that Kara's leading the students to do. One of the neat things, too, that I don't know if you know this, it's really powerful, is that every, and this is not an exaggeration, week in Grace Kids, they are praying for our missionaries. And they have a kid they support named J.B. John. And so if you ever hear about J.B. John, you're like, who is this kid? He is a kid that they are praying for and supporting. So it's kind of a neat bridge that Kara has done with these students in the back. So if your kids happen to be missionaries one day, you can blame Kara. Okay, that's the short of it. I want to read this story from Jesus' Storybook Bible as a way to illustrate an opening, and then we'll look at the text together as well. This is a new beginning. Noah's Ark from Genesis 6 through 9 says this. It says, a time passed and many people filled the earth. Everyone everywhere had forgotten about God and were only doing bad things all the time. God's heart was filled with pain when he saw what had happened to the world he loved. Everywhere was disease and death and destruction, all things God hates most. Now, Noah was God's friend, which was odd in those days because no one else was. Noah listened to God. He talked to God. He just loved being with God, like you do with your best friend. Noah, God said, things have gone wrong. People have filled my world with hate instead of love. They are destroying themselves and each other and my world. I must stop them. First, we'll build an ark. Do you know how to build an ark? Well, neither did Noah. Luckily, God knew, and he would show him. A storm is coming, God told Noah, but I will rescue you, I promise. I'll send the animals to you, ones that creep and crawl and slither and slime and gallop and hop and bound and climb, and don't forget to pack everyone's food. The storm was going to wash away all the hate and sadness and everything that had gone wrong and make the world clean again. God had thought up a way to keep Noah safe, but Noah would have to trust God and do exactly what God told him. So Noah built an ark, short for a very large boat. Well, Noah's neighbors came out to watch and point and laugh because they didn't believe Noah about the boat or the storm or needing to be rescued. And Noah must have looked rather silly. His boat was in the middle of the desert. The desert was nowhere near the sea, and there wasn't even a cloud in the sky. Why would anyone need an umbrella, let alone a boat? But Noah didn't mind so much what other people thought. He minded what God thought. So he just did what God told him to do. When the ark was ready, God said, "All aboard!" And Noah's family and all the animals climbed inside. Then God shut the door. And it started raining. For minutes that joined up into hours, that joined up into days, that joined up into weeks and weeks. And the rain joined up into puddles, that joined up into rivers, that joined up into lakes, that joined up into a flood that covered the whole world. Their boat, that had once seemed so big, suddenly seemed very small. But in the middle of the huge storm, in the crashing waves, and all the thunder and lightning through it all, God was with them. And God kept them safe for 40 long days and 40 long nights. Finally, the rain stopped. The sun came out, and Noah threw open all the windows. Hooray! In Hebrew, he said it. Everyone shouted. Noah sent his dove out to explore, and it wasn't long before she brought back a fresh olive leaf. Everyone knew exactly what that meant. She had found a tree and land. The water was going down. At last, the boat landed quite suddenly on top of a great mountain. As soon as it was safe, God said, "Out you come." And so they did, everyone skipping and dancing onto dry land. The first thing Noah did was to thank God for rescuing them just as he had promised. And the first thing God did was to make another promise. "I won't ever destroy the world again." And like a warrior who puts away his bow and arrow at the end of a great battle, God said, "See, I have hung my bow in the clouds." And there in the clouds, just where the storm meets the sun, was a beautiful bow made of light. It was a new beginning in God's world. It wasn't long before everything went wrong again, but God wasn't surprised. He knew this would happen. That's why before the beginning of time, he had another plan, a better plan. A plan not to destroy the world, but to rescue it. A plan to one day send his own son, the rescuer. God's strong answer against hate and sadness and death would come down once more. But not on his people or on his world. No, God's war bow was not pointing down at his people. It was pointing up to heaven. Over the past few weeks, we have had the privilege of walking through and unpacking Genesis. And we have looked at a lot of things, but this key point that is paramount is this is about God. It's really easy for us to slip into a focus on ourselves, but God's word is about him, and it's about us knowing him, getting to see why we were made. As Ashley prayed earlier, that we were made with great detail. On purpose. And he had his intention, God did, in everything that he made, and it was good. He made man and woman in his image and gave them responsibility to cultivate life in his creation. They were to take his image and bring about flourishing. They were in this place called Eden, this plain filled with all this fruit and life around them. It was the place of God and the people of God and the presence of God. But in the garden, there were two specific trees, as we discovered last week, the tree of life, which brought about life in abundance, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which brought about death and decay. The serpent we see tempts Adam and Eve, and they were deceived and disobeyed God. Now, as a result of that, sin reigns all over the earth. In chapter 4, we see the fallout. Cain kills his brother Abel. Lamech takes two wives. We see the spiritual forces of evil led by Satan infiltrate the human race, producing giants in the land. This leads to an all-encompassing reality about creation that we see in Genesis 6. Look at this with me in verse 5. It said, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his hearts was evil continually. Not only were his actions evil, but even his intentions and thoughts were evil as well. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, listen to this, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. That word sorry in the language there is a picture of God grieving deeply over the fallout of sin. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Remember that word generations is a word toledot. It is a picture of many coming from one origin, one starter, and we see the starter here is God himself. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It says, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Here's the key thing about Noah, and should be key for us. Noah walked with God. We see this real image, very detailed image, of God showing his righteous judgment upon creation. But he shows mercy to it as well by saving Noah and his family. Noah is called to build the ark and builds it according to God's instruction. God tells Noah and his family and the living creatures to enter the ark. The flood came, waters from below and above flooded the earth, raining 40 days and nights. Noah and his family stay on the ark for over a year because of the flood. And even though it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, the waters came from below and from above. If it rained that long over the whole world, it's going to be longer than 40 days that it's going to be on the earth. There's a flood. And Noah and his family, as soon as they get off the ark, they worship the Lord because he was faithful. And then from here, we see that God establishes a covenant with Noah, and here's what's key, with his offspring and all of creation. The text that Bella read for us a moment ago is what helps us see this. If you would look with me at Genesis 9, it says, then God said, verse 8, then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, behold, I will establish my covenant. Now, I want you to see something that's really powerful. The Old Testament is loaded with several covenants that have like this crazy image in view. And each of the covenants that are in the Old Testament have an arrow pointing ultimately to the person and work of Christ found in the new covenant that we have with Jesus. This transformation of how he's writing his law on our hearts. He's doing this work in us. And so this particular covenant, which is unique, is called a unilateral covenant, meaning all the parameters of the covenant are being held by one party of the covenant, whereas the other party of the covenant is a beneficiary, okay? The one who is doing all the work in this, maintaining all the rules and promises and faithfulness of this covenant is God himself. Whereas in the Ten Commandments, there is a condition there based on you obeying his law. This one is unilateral. It's based on what God said, and he carries it out. He said, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as come out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. This whole covenant, this promise that he's making is with everyone, everything that he's created. I will establish my covenant with you that never again, verse 11, shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I want to pause there. Each of these covenants that we see throughout the Old Testament, and we have one that many of us today are able to illustrate as well. So for me, January 1st of 2000, I get to remember every day when I walk out of the house, there's a little hook right by the keys, and I grab this ring right here, and I put it on my finger, and it reminds me of what I promised to Erin almost 25 years ago. It's a covenant promise that she would be my wife until I draw my last breath. And this covenant promise that we see that God makes with his people is a valuable, key promise. Look at it with me. He says, "This is the sign of the covenant that I will make between you and every living creature that is with you for all," here's the key thing, "future generations," meaning us here today get to benefit from this sign of the promise. Here it is. "I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." So two things here. There is a bow in the cloud. What's powerful to think about is we don't have a record prior to this of rain happening. We saw how God provided moisture in the air so that everything was watered and taken care of, but we don't have rain just yet. And so this time that Noah and his family see this, what we see as a rainbow, for him, it was just a warrior's bow because he didn't have a point of reference. What's powerful too here is that's the word in the Hebrew is not rainbow. It is a battle bow or a war bow, like a bow and arrow. So bear that in mind. Between me and the earth. "When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds," this is God saying, "I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh." So notice who is being reminded once this happens each time a rainbow is in the sky. Humanity is reminded. All animals are reminded. Creation as a whole is reminded of this promise right here in this moment from God. And it's a reminder for God, as if he needs one, that he made this promise to keep for creation. So it is a powerful image that many times you and I just casually say, "Oh, a rainbow," and we just keep driving by. That picture is a promise from the Lord about never destroying the earth like this again. Keep going. "When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh on the earth. God said to Noah, 'This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh of the earth.'" And what's powerful that I want you to pay attention to, normally a battle bow, a warrior's bow, is a sign of hostility. In this case, it's a sign of peace. It's a picture of peace. Now, many of us have this tendency when we see all the craziness that happens in the world. And what we want to do is to dig, not just in the Bible, but to read other things that say this must be when Christ is coming back. And believe it or not, this generation of people that you and I are in are not the first group of people that have ever thought these things. It's been happening since Jesus said these words. And so what I want us to do is to see how Jesus used this story of Noah and the ark to kind of teach us about the second coming of when he's going to come and be present with us and to bring us to be with him. Look at this in Matthew 24. Verse 36, it says this, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." Sometimes we hear warnings, and we hear them sometimes often, but we get to the point where we are kind of callous to them, and we just don't even regard them. I don't know if you do that. You know, some people think that the line around a stop sign is a suggestion. It's a warning. If you go out, there could be problems. This is a warning from Jesus. We are not promised our next breath. And this reminder here in the gospel is something that we need to take serious. We need to pause and listen to the warning. It should cause us to second guess some things. To think, you know, am I just going about my life, or am I actually like heeding the wisdom from Christ? Am I just assuming that everything's going to be okay because everything has already been okay? If anything, this should remind us that we don't know when he will call us home. We don't know when he will return. So what should we do? We should trust in the provision of the gospel. We should share with other people about the provision of the gospel. We should be people who are communicating globally this incredible work of the gospel by the way that we live in this world. What difference does it make? Well, what's cool is this particular story brings about a gospel picture. And I want us to investigate it. Remember, a bow was a weapon of war that would be a sign for peace. And for those of us in this world, and what's cool is this sign of peace, this rainbow, happens all over the world. Instead of the battle bow being pointed at man as a sign of judgment, it was aimed at heaven as a sign of peace. What we need to understand, too, is a drawn bow is a sign of hostility, and yet instead of it being pointed from God to man, it was pointed, though, from man to God. This is a foreshadowing of the work of Christ. The rainbow isn't just a sign of God's promise that he will never again deal with human sin by flooding the world again. It is an indication of how he will deal with sin by taking all its pain, its wrath and penalty upon himself. You see, the bow at its apex is pointed to heaven. Christ takes the arrow for us. He takes our wrath. Isaiah prophesies about this picture of something of hostility causing the delivery of peace for us. In the section of scripture from Isaiah, the latter half of Isaiah 52 into Isaiah 53, this section, what's called about the suffering servant, it says this, but he, verse 5, was pierced for our transgressions. Notice here, our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. He endured the hostility so that you and I could have peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. By the wounds of Christ, by the hostility that he took, we are healed. We experience peace because the arrow went through him. Paul writes about this in a similar way in Colossians 1, verse 19 to 20. It says, "For in him, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace," here it is, "by the blood of his cross." He made peace through his suffering. We get to experience the peace of God through the suffering of his son. And then we ask this crazy question. Is there any other indication that God takes seriously his covenant promise with Noah? I'm going to say yes. I'll show you in a second. I don't know if you guys have sentimental things in your office or at your home that remind you of something maybe from your parents or from somebody that loved you. In my office here, I have a few things on my shelves. My stepdad's dad, Papa, he smoked a pipe, and I have his pipe holder. And instead of a pipe in the pipe holder is my stepdad, who raised me's hole in one ball. He got a hole in one. Big deal. Never done it. I'm jealous. I have that. I have this birdhouse that Mrs. Mickey, who was my first secretary when I came here, that she made for me with, you know, special things that are special to me, and she put it on there as a reminder of those relationships that I have with those people. So I want to share with you an indication that God takes seriously his covenant promise with Noah that matters to you and I today. Because every time we see a rainbow, we're reminded about this promise. Our women are going through a study through the book of Revelation. And in Revelation 4, there is this image that John sees there that is incredibly beautiful and powerful. And Revelation 2 and 3 is a letter to the churches. And there's an invitation to the last church where he says, if you overcome, I'll give you the right to sit with me on the throne. And then chapter 4, right after that, John gets a vision of what the throne looks like. And this is what he says. After this, this is chapter 4, verse 1 of Revelation. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. We find out later, the Lamb in the midst of the throne is the shepherd. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne, God placed a rainbow as a reminder of his covenant promise with creation, reminding him and reminding us that God is faithful to his word. I don't know what brought you in today, what pain you brought with you, what questions you had. But if there's anything I want you to hear from somebody who understands pain and setbacks, is that we have a God who is faithful to his word. And that rainbow that we see after a storm isn't just for beauty. It's a reminder of how faithful God is. What's super beautiful is that in eternity, around his throne, is a reminder of how faithful God is. So I hope, like Noah did, that you're walking with God. And that means that you are trusting in the work of Christ on your behalf. That's how we get the opportunity to walk with God. We learn how to do it by engaging in his word, engaging in community, engaging in prayer. I hope that you are walking with God. If you're not, every time you see a rainbow, it's just one little glimpse of God loving you enough to remind you of the provision that he made for you in Christ Jesus. Every time. Yes, it's beautiful, but it's so much more. Let me pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for this moment where we as brothers and sisters and those who are just trying to figure things out, Lord God, I pray that you would use this for us. this beautiful story that we get to read about in kids' books and look at it on flannel graphs and just videos that teach us about it. But Father, help us not miss the picture of your promise. Lord, I praise you for this glimpse of this covenant picture. I pray that your Spirit would soften our hearts for those of us who have hardened them against you. Lord, I pray that you would soften them and draw us to you. Lord God, draw us to you to confess our sin and then confess you as Lord and Savior. Lord God, and repent if we need to repent, to turn away from our sin and sinful thinking and turn to you. Father, do this work in us for your glory. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing.